this session. If you'll come on up, Pastor Thompson with IGM.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. You know, it's always an honor to be able to stand at the pulpit and to share the word of God. And this morning I want to do just that. It's Sunday school, but it's also our missions Sunday, missions weekend, as the focus is on having a heart for missions. Amen? Yes. So, you know, when I arrived in the U.S. a few years ago, and you know I'm Jamaican, for some of you who don't know, I'm Jamaican, so, but I now live in Florida. And when I arrived, I saw people wearing t-shirts, and one of the signs that was on, it's a statement that says, "I am only here for the coffee." Have you ever seen that? Or, "I'm only here for the ice cream." You know, that got me thinking. If you are given a t-shirt with the words, "I'm only here for," and you were asked to supply the words to complete the statement, what would you have written?
Jesus.
"I'm only here for?"
Jesus.
Well, some of you guys are really holy. And we should be. So you won't be here for the coffee, and it's not for the ice cream. It's not for the meal after church. We're having a meal after church today, I heard. Is that right, Pastor?
Missions committee is taking our missionaries out.
Oh, you hear that? Well, you're not here for that, right? The fact is that you're in church today. And the obvious answer would be, I'm here for the fellowship, for to know Jesus some more. I'm here to learn and to grow. And that's what it's about, isn't that so?
Amen.
Because as we grow, we mature. And what is obvious is that it's mature things that reproduce. And that's the purpose. God wants us to reproduce. So he has to get us to that place of maturity. And it comes through the teaching of the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
But have you ever thought, you know, it's Mission Sunday, right? Have you ever thought, what is in it for me? I want this to be the topic of our lesson because it's something that I've taken from the text. Luke chapter 18, and I want to read from verse 18 to 34 quickly. Luke 18, verse 18 to 34. Could somebody read that for me? Luke 18, 18 to 34. Anybody? Okay.
18.
To 34, yes.
Chapter 18.
Luke 18, chapter 18, 18 to 34.
Okay. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, things which are impossible with men are possible with God. How far?
To 34.
34? Okay. 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have all left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on him. And they shall scorn him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken.
Thank you. Let's pray. Holy Father, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This study today, I want you to see a few exchanges in this dialogue that Jesus had with the disciples. These exchanges should help us to determine the returns from our investment in the gospel ministry, or your investment in the gospel ministry, in this community, and in worldwide missions. The text that was read shows us that Jesus and his disciples were still locked in a time of teaching, because of this conversation that Jesus had with this young man that is referred to as the rich young ruler. This young man was searching for significance, but he ended up disappointed. You know, at the end of the account, in Luke 18, verse 18 to 27, we find Peter's discussion with Jesus. And it is this exchange that I want to highlight. And the first exchange comes through what I would refer to as an honest inquiry. And may I say, an honest inquiry from a courageous follower of Christ. You know, sometimes we're afraid to say what really is on our minds, but not Peter. Peter would tell you what he was thinking. I like Peter. I like to be around people who says what they're really thinking. Luke 18 verse 28 records this statement, putting Peter in the spotlight. He said, look, we have left all and followed you. This was a candid and courageous utterance from Peter. And really, Peter, the undesignated spokesman of the disciples, he was making an inquiry. If you will turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, because all three Gospels we find record the same incident, but you'll find when we look at the other Gospels that there are pieces of the information that will be added, and some will, like in Luke's account, everything seemed not to be there. But when we look at Matthew and Mark, as we will be doing, you'll find some additional information. Look at Matthew 19, verse 27. It says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." Now this is what is added. This is what Matthew added. "What shall we have therefore? We have given up everything to follow you. What is in it for us?" That's what Matthew recorded. And this inquiry of Peter brought into focus the question on everybody's mind, all the disciples' mind, but which none other was courageous enough to ask. I call Luke's account, if you turn back to Luke chapter 18, verse 28, I call it Peter's loaded statement. "Lo, see, look, we have left all and followed thee." That's where Luke stopped. Matthew, fill in the blanks. "We have left all and followed thee." Peter's statement was based on the response of the rich young ruler who chose not to follow Christ. Verse 18 to 27 of Luke 18. This rich young ruler was unwilling to let go of the things that he was trusting in order to embrace Jesus Christ. He was not willing to let go. You see, Jesus' prescription for this young man is not necessarily the prescription that he has for you. He knows what we are trusting in. And that's what he's telling us to let go from. Because just like this rich young ruler, if he was going to trust in his riches to get him there. Now, this young man was a good young man. He kept the commandments, didn't he? At least the ones that were mentioned. And the Bible tells us in another gospel that Jesus loved him. He kept the commandments. But just being good is not enough. It's the whole matter of putting your trust in him, in Jesus. So this young man was actually trusting in his own riches. What is it that you're trusting in? And that's what Jesus asked that he should give up to come and follow him. Having heard all of that, this rich young man walked away. Jesus' prescription to sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me would not do. But Jesus wanted this rich young ruler to exercise radical faith so he could experience radical change. This man decided he had other ideas, so he left sorrowfully, the Bible tells us. I guess he was going to try and make it on his own. That's not going to work. It's the Lord's terms. It's what God says, not what we think or how we feel. So in Luke 18, verse 28, Simon Peter's statement was really an inquiry to Jesus in the face of the disciples sacrificing their lives and livelihood to follow him. We have left all and followed you. The question Peter was asking, so what is in it for us? What are we going to receive? What are we going to get at the end of this journey? Could it be that the Apostle Peter's statement came because he could not envision anything of worth on the horizon? Nothing for them? You see, Jesus himself had no earthly possessions. And it appears that he was not even making any effort to acquire any assets or material things of worth that he could pass on to them. Who likes to work without pay? My wife always say, encouragement sweetens labor. If you know that there's something at the end that you're going to receive, you tend to be motivated towards the goal. Is that so? We're being honest here this morning. Amen. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 9 verse 58? And Jesus said this to another person who volunteered to follow him. He said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And verse 58 of Luke chapter 9, it tells us, Jesus responded, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's revealing. Hence the question, what is in it for us? Are there times when you struggle with that same question when it comes to ministering in your local church? Times when you get repeated calls from the pastor or the church leadership to be involved in serving others, be involved in the evangelistic effort, be involved in missions. Missionaries come and they come and they talk about their ministry and they make their appeal. And do you ever feel like, okay, we are giving all this much, we are getting so involved, but what are we gaining? Is there anything for us? Isn't that a legitimate question that may come to mind? Come on, brothers and sisters. Look at Jesus' response. He gave an answer of assurance in verse 29 and 30. I want to say an answer of assurance to curious followers of Christ. Jesus' answer was intended in verse 29 to 30. It was intended to calm the fears and other anxieties that may have silently plagued the disciples' inquiring minds. Obviously, deep down, all the other disciples were curious to find out if there would be any returns on their investment in following Jesus. In this second exchange, in these two verses, verse 29 and 30, what did Jesus promise the disciples? In these two verses, what did he promise?
Life everlasting.
He promised life everlasting. What else? We could also say he promised a new family. Isn't that so? Based on the text before us. Now, Look also at Mark's report on this same incident in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, verily, or truly, I say to you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or family, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but ye shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands." What's the next few words? "With persecutions, and in the world to come, everlasting life." So is there anything added on this list? There are two things added: land and persecution. So could someone now look at Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 to 29. Let's look at that one. If you're there before me, you could read.
"Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell."
Matthew 19, 27 to 29.
"And are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will."
Matthew 19. Yes,
okay,
yes.
"We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, with the renewal of all things, the Son of Man sits on his glory throne. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life."
Isn't that wonderful that there's something in it for us? Do you get the drift here? God is debtor to no man. He will reward us. It's just that there are times as human beings when we feel as if, oh, we have given so much and we are not getting anything in return. It's not your time yet. God has a plan. It's a perfect plan. And I tell you that the payment, the rewards that are to come are just out of this world. Amen. Sometimes we are only looking for what is in this world, what we can get. But you know what about what we can get in this world? We also lose it in this world. And it does not have the potential to take us and for us to carry it into the world to come. The best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. Following Jesus will cost you your time, your talent, and even your treasure. Let's be real about this. As Mark informs us in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, that they should also expect persecution as part of the package of following Jesus and serving in his harvest. You know, last night you heard, those of you are here, you heard the presenters and you heard about Zimbabwe, and some people say, "Boy, I don't think I could ever do that." And we understand. But you know, missionaries have been maimed on the field. We think about Hudson Taylor and what he lost. We think about many others Some have been killed. There's a cost that accompanies missions. But is it worth it? Is it worth it for a soul to be saved? Well, it was worth it for me. When missionaries came and ministered to my pastor on the road. He wasn't a pastor yet. He wasn't even saved. He was only a young man of 16 years old. And somebody stopped him. A missionary stopped him. Ministered to him. He trusted Christ. A few years later, he felt called to come to our community. And I was lost. I heard the gospel and I got saved. Amen. Is it worth it? Their souls were saved for eternity as a result of the sacrifice of some. As a result of the sacrifice of those who had given to support missions and missionaries. Those who had a heart for the lost. And because of that, they gave up everything. They made a big sacrifice, a huge sacrifice. But those who were at home, they also played their part because they had to make the sacrifice to be able to ensure that those who go were supported. As a result, here's a fruit of that. Me. And God is amazing because now God is using me in this capacity to also to go and to tell others. And to support others in doing that. Isn't that amazing? And that we can be partners with God in this. We need to keep on our minds the fact that delivering people from the devil's grasp and from hell comes with its own pressure and its own price. Additionally, there will be a payday in God's everlasting kingdom after all the work is done. That's what is in it for you and me. Yes.
When you think about, you know, what Ms. Wanger said about spiders as big as your hand, that's all we can think about. But I wonder how many babies are going to be saved because she goes down there.
Yes.
I wonder how many women that she ministers to, their lives are going to be changed.
Yes.
And all we can think about is the spiders as big as our hands.
Yeah.
And but I do believe there's going to be, over the course of time, hundreds and thousands of lives that are turned around because she is going to sacrifice a lot to be there.
Yeah. You know, there are missionaries like our sister who never got married, never get a family, because they have committed themselves. And some people will say, that's like a waste. We think about Jim Elliot and those men that died in South America. And when some of you may have read the book Gates of Splendor. You know Elliot's wife and all of this. And there was even a movie, The End of the Spear, that show the follow-up of this, to see that it's all worth it. Because even the person who speared Jim Elliot got saved and became the minister, the leader, the pastor in his tribe with the gospel, to get the gospel out to the other tribes. That's amazing. Now let's look at the final exchange in this dialogue. This exchange is made by Jesus. It highlights a forecast. And you and I know that it's a forecast is to predict what is to come. Verse 31 through to 34, we see this. In verse 31, we see Jesus redirecting the disciples' focus. You know, as we gaze on the scripture, this is so important, brothers and sisters. Jesus shifted the disciples' attention from rewards to the current working out of God's plan and God's purpose. The Lord wanted the apostles to give undivided attention to the current leading of God in the events that were about to be unfolded. At this time and in this season of their lives, Jesus did not want them to become distracted by lesser issues, though important they may be. I want you to follow me. The fulfillment of God's present will today is vital now and essential for the future. I want you to get that. Verse 31, Jesus said, "We are going up to Jerusalem now." That's the new focus. You remember what they were talking about? What's really in it for me? What kind of reward are we going to get? Jesus is saying, yeah, that's important. That's important, but it's a lesser issue, though important it may be. We are going to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem now. Do you know why? What was about to happen? What was on the horizon? What is the forecast Jesus was given? Jesus was saying, what is happening now or what is about to happen will shape history for us tomorrow, as God's purpose will be accomplished through us today as we go up to Jerusalem. I want to make a statement here. The season of life you are in now and the experiences you are living through today is the Jerusalem to which you must travel. What season of life are you in? What are you experiencing today? What season of life was Jesus in? What was he experiencing? What was the forecast? Going up to my Jerusalem, as Jesus informed his disciples, speaks of that place, time, or season of life where you will fulfill the ultimate will of God for your life. Just as Jesus would do. The time and opportunities afforded us today may be the final chance we have to do anything worthwhile to advance the kingdom of God. We may not know, but this season of our lives could provide our final effort to bring people to the kingdom of God through missions. We may not know it, but this may be it for you and for me. This may be the final opportunity we have. You may feel young like I do, but you don't know. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Now is the time. Here is where we are to put the focus. It could be that God has prepared us and brought us to this point, so that we may make this final thrust to fulfill his purpose. Just as we would see happening here. Verse 31. Look at it again. Jesus said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." What are these things that he spoke of? We today must acknowledge what the Bible describes as the signs of the time. There are signs that indicated to Jesus and the disciples that the prophecies concerning the purpose of his coming were about to be fulfilled. And Jesus was always suggesting to them, telling them, but somehow it was going in one ear and coming through the other without making any connections up here. Jesus constantly told them, I must go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. But somehow the disciples just did not get it. You know, it just came in and went through. Selective thinking or listening or however you put it. We today, brothers and sisters, in the same way, the age we live in today, the prophecies of the scriptures are being fulfilled. Just look at what is happening in Israel and across the world. The history of our world and our lives are now being written for tomorrow. We have opportunities to make up our crowns by doing Christian service that will fulfill God's purpose to reach the lost through missions and evangelism in our church. We must have a heart for what God has a heart for what Jesus had a heart for. The rewards are reserved for Christ's second return. They are reserved. But how will you feature in this history? What impact would you have made when you leave your place of service for eternity? The fact is that we don't know when. But what impact would you have made? I guess the question that needs to be asked, what kind of legacy will you leave behind when the Lord calls you home? What will be your legacy? In Luke 18:32-33, Jesus hinted about the legacy he would leave at his departure. And we're in Luke chapter 18. Look at 32-33. Speaking of himself as a son of man, Jesus said, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated." He will be insulted, spitted on. And they shall scourge him, give him a real serious beating, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. The legacy Jesus was thinking of was the prospect of the redemption of men who will trust him through the action of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's a wonderful legacy. However, verse 34, the final verse, informs us that the disciples did not understand. They were clueless about the impact of the Jerusalem experience they were about to enter into. The text says, and they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. So verse 34 here suggests that there will be things about this life and God's future plan we may not understand now. Just as the disciples did not understand then. However, the Lord may borrow understanding now, but we will not be guiltless from the outcomes if we choose incorrectly and refuse to walk by faith. Because that's what it's about. He has given us his word. He might not reveal to us everything that we need to know. You know, there are some people, unless they know how it's really going to work, they will not proceed. And the Lord said, listen, this is an issue of trust. Do you believe I am who I claim to be? The rich young man came to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom? There's interest in him. There's some amount of credibility that he sees in Jesus that he came with this question. But when Jesus told him what he needed to do, he walked away. It was an issue of trust. Do I trust him enough to let go of what I'm holding on to advance his cause? It's the same issue of trust we have today in the church. It's the same issue of trust we battle with who feel the call of God to go. It's the same issue of trust your pastor and his wife had to deal with when the Lord called them to the ministry. There are other things that they could do. It's the same issue of trust that you as members have to deal with when it comes to God. As we seek to release, to send others out, and to stand by them through prayer, having a heart for what God is doing, a heart for missions, knowing that this is what God seeks to accomplish, will accomplish. Let me just close. Our resolve then ought to be that in all situations we find ourselves, difficult or otherwise, we are to follow Christ by faith, even when we don't understand. There's a quote I want to end with from Oswald Chambers. It's an old devotional that I use sometimes. The utmost for his highest. And I came up across this, where Chambers said, in our Lord's life, Jerusalem is a place where he reached the culmination of his Father's will upon the cross. And unless we go there with Jesus, we will have no friendship or fellowship with him. Nothing ever diverted our Lord on his way to Jerusalem. He neither hurried through certain villages where he was persecuted or lingered in others where he was blessed. Neither gratitude nor ingratitude turned our Lord even the slightest degree away from his purpose to go up to Jerusalem, because people needed to be saved. You and I needed to be received. Now we are placed in the same situation. Will we trust God enough? What is in it for me? Believe me, God is going to reward you. But there's always work before rewards. And that's what we are to enter in now, with those who have to go to stand with them. Amen? Any questions?
Your responsibility as a